You gotta hear before it happens. Believe before it happens. Receive before it happens. You got to know. Won't be, but God said this one's on me. I know it's hard to see, but God said this one's on me.
You're tuned in to a live broadcast from The Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you. It is good to be with you on today. We're going to play one more track, and then I'm coming back to talk with you. I had to make a pit stop. Amen. I'm traveling. And so we stopped here in Somerville, and we're going to sit down. We're going to ask Pastor Calhoun some questions, and we're going to get into tonight's program. So Missionary Ken, kick us off with another track. I run our commercials, and I'll be back in just one moment.
Bobby Jones, NSC, and the wonderful voice of Faith Eddie. What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service. To charge up in a small group community. To live out using your gifts and passions. And to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Amen.
Hello, I'm
Missionary
Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Missionary Ken, and thank you, Sister Emily, for your support. Amen. Having support is a wonderful thing. If you don't think so, don't cross the bridge. You'll find out just how having the right amount of support really matters. Don't cross a broken bridge if you don't think support matters. Amen. It is wonderful to be with you on tonight. Wherever you may be listening to this program, you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. One of the things that I love to start the program off on Mondays is testimony, something that we took out of the church, not because it wasn't good, but because some people start abusing it. Amen. Testimony service is not telling off on your neighbor. Testimony service is not telling off on your spouse. But testimony service is about talking about the goodness of God in your life in spite of circumstances. And along with this month's emphasis, our attitude of gratitude, testimony service is definitely something we want to talk about, is about telling goodness in spite of badness. In other words, it might have woke up, you might have woke up this morning with aches and pain. But you can say, thank you, Lord, because you at least woke up. You woke up feeling those aches and pain, and you did understand what to do and how to do it so that you wouldn't cause them aches and pains to get worse. So we thank God for Tiger Balm and some menthol rub and all those things that help us to keep on keeping on. So we can thank God in any kind of situation. Somebody was talking about thanking God for rain. You know, farmers need rain. So without rain, their vegetables and their harvest won't produce. But with that rain comes what it needs to help that soil to be all it needs to be so it can produce something that's worth eating. And there's something that needs to be produced in you and me, and that's the Word of God. And we water it by hearing the Word of God, resounding the Word of God, sharing the Word of God. And when we continue to do that things, we can make our world better that we exist in today. Amen. So testimony service is what I love. I believe the Bible. The Bible said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That says to me, that God would dare to even put my testimony just a little bit close to the blood of Christ. And they overcame by the what? Blood of the what? Lamb. And the word and conjunction. The word of their testimony. In other words, somebody was lost and they heard that somebody else who was lost is now found. So they had hope that they can be found too. So we believe in testimony service around here. The old song used to go, and y'all know I love to sing it, and if you dare to sing it with me, you're welcome. And it is this. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify while I have a chance. I believe I testify while I have a chance, I may not have a chance anymore. Testimony service is open. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn. Come on. Tell of the goodness of God in your life.
Amen. I just want to thank God that, as you were mentioning, you know, we could complain about the bad stuff, the aches, the pains, whatever. Just like, oh, yeah, I could sit there and complain about how hard it is for me to do things being blind. And, yeah, it is hard. And it is harder than a sighted person has to do things because, like, using a computer, you have to do things the slower way and use the screen reader or whatever. But yet, on the other hand, it could be worse. Could be a lot worse. I could have no screen reader at all, and I could not be able to use a computer at all. I could be having trouble not breathing. I could be on oxygen. I mean, things could be a lot worse. So I want to thank the Lord that he allows me to have breath in my lungs, blood pumping through my veins, my heart's in good shape. So, I mean, there's a lot I could thank God for, despite the fact that I happen to be totally blind and can't see light from day, from dark from night. So I just want to thank God for that.
Amen. And we thank God along with you. The Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. So we want to rejoice with you. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We were talking about dealing with sight. Amen. Somebody got up complaining that they had blurry vision until they got in a conversation with somebody that had no vision. So we have a lot to be thankful about. Amen. And when you are still able in the midst of lost sight, you still have the vision that God has given you to keep on keeping on. And so we celebrate those that do not allow their vision to hinder them from moving forward. Amen. And so Missionary Ken, Brother Charles, man, along with my friend Frederick Cole and Assistant Pastor Frederick Cole and my other friend, Ellie Willie Deering, amen. We celebrate you, gentlemen, that dare to still step out in faith day after day, trusting God in the midst of darkness, still holding on to sight, and that's the sight of Christ. Amen. So y'all be encouraged. Amen. Anyone else with a testimony? Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that I have cataracts in both eyes, but it's not affecting my vision at all. So I'm praising God for that. And I also got some medication today that's going to help my fibromyalgia. So even though I believe God will heal it without the medicine.
Amen, amen. Isn't that wonderful? I like what you said there. You said you have cataracts in both eyes. Now, I never heard nobody talk about their cataracts and not talk about low vision. But you said even though you have those, they're not really affecting your vision. And that goes back to something I said, man, a long time ago, Sister Ruth, and that is God would let the believers, the saints, we can live with what other people have died from and given up from. Amen. I give God honor and praise every time I think about one of the dear mothers of the church, Mother Mary White, who has stage 3 cancer. Now, I've been talking about this for the past 3-4 years. She's had stage 3 cancer all this time and hasn't gone to stage 4. Amen. And she's still here. And in the process of that, she's lost family members, and she's still here. From other things, not the coronavirus, still here. And so that's why we have to praise God, because where other people have died, listen, hear me, people have died from waking up and jumping up and having a stroke. Met a man today, talked about having a stroke. Amen. 60-something years old, and now have to change his whole life around. Amen. Because of a stroke. But I've seen people that trusting God, serving God, had a stroke, and when you see them and talk with them, they act like they never had nothing wrong with them at all. They moving the same. They're walking the same. They're talking the same. They just as sharp as they were before the incident. So God is a keeper. He's a redeemer. He's a rescuer. He is so much more. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Ruth, for sharing that. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Is there any others, amen, that has a testimony they would like to share on this evening? Amen, amen, amen. Well, since we have no other, amen, we're going to get Missionary Ken to run one more music track for us. And following that, I will be talking with you. I'm blessed to this evening. My testimony is I have a man of God before me this evening. And, you know, from time to time, I like to bring different men of God or people of God, because I brought some women, too, that love the Lord for real. And they don't love the Lord just with their mouth. They love the Lord with their action. Their lifestyle represent people who say they love the Lord. Amen. So I have a man of God here this evening. We're going to ask him a few questions, and we're going to move forward with the word for this evening. So, Ken, go ahead and play that track, and I'll be right back.
The faith in this place, and it is all to me.
to worship
hey,
God
Bonnie.
In this place. Go
Pastor
ahead, Missionary Kim. Yes, sir.
Just wanted you to make sure that, because I knew you had a guest there, and they always say there's power in numbers, and knowing that this is another preacher friend of yours, wanted to pass along our prayer request of the blind ministry that we've had about getting a bus for us to go out and do mission work. We'd appreciate that prayer.
Amen. Amen. And towards the end, when I come back in your direction, reiterate that for me just in case I do not. Amen?
You got
so
it.
We believe in the power of, we believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so a lot of times we don't know or we underestimate the true power of prayer. Some people pray this type of prayer. If it's the Lord's will, God will hear you. And that's a all right, but that's a faith prayer. Prayer of faith is when you do it like the Bible says. The Bible says, if any sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church, for they shall pray the prayer of faith. And if there be any sickness, and I mean if there be any sin, their sins will be forgiven and they'll be healed. And don't say if it's the Lord's will, because he's already expressed in the text, it is his will for you to be forgiven of your sins and to be healed in your body. That's why the scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So when it comes down to healing and deliverance, it is the will of the Father for us to be delivered, to be healed, to be set free. Amen. That is his will. The whole purpose of Christ coming to be the sacrificial lamb is that we may have those things as a beneficiary, as a benefit to being heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And so I am an heir of the kingdom. Amen. And you notice something about rich folks, people that have a significant amount of wealth. It doesn't matter where their castle is, their home is, their place where they lay their head down. They're wealthy there, and they have their seclusion. There they have their level of security and what have you. But they leave the house and they go out into the world. And these same people go out, and many of them may have bodyguards with them. Many of them may have entrepreneurs or people with them. And so whatever their situation is, they still operate in the same wealth that they operate in their home. What do you mean, Pastor Bonnet? I'm glad you asked. This is what I mean. When you leave your house, you're not broke. You have whatever wealth that you have. So if you're wealthy, you have money to spend. When you go out to a restaurant, you're not looking at the menu to see can you afford it. No, you already know you can afford it. I'm saying that because us as believers, when we leave the house of prayer, when we leave our home, we're still part of the kingdom of heaven. So we shouldn't go around worrying about what we can't and cannot do. We've put too much emphasis on what we can't do, thereby putting blocks in our own mind, hindering us from achieving the very things that God said that we can do. How can I say that? Well, I read it in my Bible. I know it's in there because I read it for my oneself. It said, let the weak say, I'm strong. What? It says, let the weak say, I am strong. So if God is telling me to confess the positive, even though I may be in the negative, who report what you're going to believe? The doctor come in the room and say, oh, I got some bad news. And we go to crying. And I'm not saying you shouldn't cry. But we get to a point where we feel like there's no hope. We take the word of that doctor as absolute law. They say you got 2 weeks. You're like, oh, I got 2 weeks. When we should be saying, praise the Lord, I got 2 weeks. That's 2 more weeks I got to step on the head of the devil. That's 2 more weeks I got to put my house in order. Why? Because he could have took me today. And so we got to learn how to, whatever our situation is, whatever it is, we got to learn how to see God in it. When the Bible, the songwriter said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That word magnify is what you do with a magnifying glass. Whatever you're looking at, it is whatever its size is. But when you put that magnification on it, when you put that glass that has a magnification on it, it begins to highlight in your vision something that you're looking at greater. So when you magnify the Lord, no matter what your illness is, your condition is, your circumstances is, when you magnify the Lord, that means you take new vision on how you see him. When I'm getting ready to read a scripture here, and the print is fine and small. And in this print, I can see it without my reading glasses. But I put these reading glasses on. It doesn't change the print. The print is still what it is. But what it does now, it allows me the opportunity to see what I couldn't see before. It allowed me the opportunity to read something with better clarity than I couldn't before. And so that's why we have to have the attitude of, I'm not going to let my circumstance keep me depressed. I'm not going to let what came against me keep me down. The Bible says, so long as the earth remaineth, there shall be seed time and harvest. And so there's going to be seed time for you, and there's going to be harvest time. But in all of these times, let's learn to give God praise. Let's learn to give God name glory. Let's learn to give God name true honor. Why? Because he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of everything. I want to read to you Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. I'm reading the King James Version. The New King James Version, that's what I'm reading. I had to check, make sure. Amen. Because I'm not reading from my phone. I'm reading from the actual paper Bible. Amen. Again, Proverbs chapter 4 in the Old Testament. And I'm reading this, verse number 23. Verse number 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Wow. Keep your what? Keep your heart with all diligence. I want to say to our listeners, please pay very close attention to the scripture. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm giving you a plenty of time to much time to get to it because I believe it's going to bless you when you understand what the Lord is sharing with us to keep us from being depressed. Well, to keep us from being overwhelmed so much in life that we hurt every day in our heart. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart. So this is something you can do. Remember, God cannot tell us something to do if we're unable to do it. It wouldn't be fair. Wouldn't be fair for me to tell my 3-year-old child who just learned how to walk to go over there and pick up that 25-pound dumbbell. And that 3-year-old may only be about 40 pounds himself. So I can't tell them to do something that they are in, they're unable, incapable of doing. I wouldn't be a loving father then. So certainly God is more loving than me. And so here we are told to keep. So we may have to look at the definition of the word keep. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I'm talking to those that are dealing with unhealthy behavior. An attitude of gratitude is learning how to keep your heart. It's okay to be upset. The Bible said anger but sin not. So yes, some things may make you frustrated. When you see a child being abused by their parents, you should get frustrated about that. When you see government taking issues beyond their control, taking more control than they should, with forcing their will instead of obeying the will of the people collectively, only serving one group, misusing or abusing this other group. When you see things that are unjust, yes, it can make you angry, but sin not. Sin not against them and sin not against yourself. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. So as you keep your heart with all diligence, we're going right back to what I gave you before, because these things are crucial for you, crucial for me. Get up in the morning with a thank you in your mouth. I have to resound this because it is important for us to be repetitive to the things that truly matter. Practice don't make perfect. Practice make permanent. So if you want to perfect something, you must improve upon the way you've done it. And so as we improve upon what we have done, ask yourself, did I get up this morning telling God thank you for my life? Did I thank God that I was able to sit up in bed on my own? Did I tell God I was thankful that I was able to stand on the legs that I have, whether they're prosthetic legs or my original legs? Whether I had to use a walker to stand all the way up, was I able to stand? And so when we begin to thank God for what we do have, we find out that we are more blessed than we are not blessed. We are blessed more so. Did you eat breakfast this morning? Somebody didn't eat breakfast this morning. And it wasn't because they chose not to eat breakfast. There was no breakfast to eat. That word breakfast is break fast. So somebody wasn't able to break their fast because they're in a state of hunger and there was no food. So when you go to your cabinet, and although there may not be something particular that you desire to eat that day, but yet you can look up there and see several cans of food, several boxes of food. You can go to a refrigerator and have food and drink and fruit and meat within the refrigerator. You have something to be thankful for. I know you're saying, Pastor Bonner, why are we coming back there? Because this is Motivational Monday, and we're going to learn how to be motivated with what we have now. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to keep wanting what the Joneses have. It's so easy to think that the grass is greener on the other side. And the truth of the matter is, yes, the grass might be greener on the other side. And, yes, you might want some green grass, too. But you don't know the price of the green grass. And so before you begin to want something, find out what it costs. Amen. No man goes into battle and not consider the cost, lest he start off something he cannot finish. That's wisdom. So a lot of times we want things only because other people got them. But we don't know the struggle that they have to keep them. We don't know the struggle that they have to maintain them. We don't know the struggle that they have to defend them. The grass is greener on the other side. Yeah, how much is your water bill? Well, I think I pay about $15 a month for water bill. Well, here's $115. What? Yeah. You wanted the green grass, but you don't know what it costs. Many people pray for transportation. I want me a BMW. I want me a BMW. But you don't have a BMW job. And you figure because God gave you a Toyota, a used one, and you offended thinking God have more respect for this person than you, not realizing God can only give us what we can manage. I'm going to say it again. God gives us what we can manage. What would be the point of God giving me 50 people when I can only manage 5? That means God will be condemning 45 other people to bad management. That's what that would mean if God did it for me. That's like people say, pray that I get me a spouse. Pray that I get me a husband. Pray that I get a wife. And I say, well, are you ready to be a spouse? Man, are you ready to be a husband? Woman, are you ready to be a wife? Well, I just want, no. Are you ready to be one? Because why would I pray that God bless you and curse him? Oh, yeah. Because if he's ready to be a husband and you're not ready to be a wife, then you're finna mess up something. So we have to learn how to be thankful for where we are and allow God to grow us, to groom us, to prune us, to develop us so that we can be used better for the kingdom. That's how God does this thing. That's how God manifests it. But we got to be grateful for where we are. What parent will buy their children something and that child tear it up? Don't take care of it, didn't respect it. Then you buy them something else again to give them another chance, and they give it away. And you do it a third time, and they show it no regard. At some point, you have to come to the realization they did not respect what was done for them. They have taken it for granted. And most time we know people like this, and we see their behavior, and we see how they mishandle friends and family. And usually those people always are the one with that somebody owe me something attitude, entitlement. Let us not have an entitlement spirit. The only way I can be entitled to a paycheck is that I went to work on time and put in the time so I met the qualifications or the expectations of what I was hired for. Then I can expect something. A lot of times we want God to be there for us when we call upon him, as if he got to jump when we say jump. But God tells us to pray and we won't pray. God tells us to read his word and we don't. God tells us, and we act like when we go to church on Sunday and some services have down, their service down to 1 hour. And we act like we have done God a favor because we gave him 1 hour when he has given us 24 hours, 7 times. Now, how many of us will accept friendship or relationship with that type of ratio? That out of 100 times of interaction, they only do one for us while we're doing 99. Is that fair? Truly, we have been unfair to God. Yes, I know it sounds strange, but it's true. We have been unfair to God. God gave you a reasonable portion of health. A reasonable portion of health. Why do I say he gave you a reasonable portion of health? Because you, me, we didn't take care of these bodies like we should. We don't get up every day and exercise like we should. We barely stretch at all. And then we eat food that's not completely healthy. Where I am poor, that's not an excuse not to eat correctly. Because when you think about all the junk food that we do eat, regardless of our financial status, we still see time and opportunity when we do not do our part of taking care of these bodies, which, by the way, they don't belong to us. This is our body. And I love it when I hear people begin to boast about this, my life. I'm going to be the master of my destiny. And they go on. And then tragedy hit. And then they get mad at God. No, you was master of your fate. So change it. Master, you controlled your destiny. Change it. So if we're unfair to God and he's still fair to us, who's guilty? We are. So let us have the right state of mind concerning loving God, obeying God, and trusting God. Let us move in the right fashion. So number one, let us get up in the morning with a thank you. Let's start thanking God for this day, thanking God for life, health, and strength. Coffee go right there. Thank you, Lord. This is for you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this coffee that's so warm and good to my bed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Somebody can't drink coffee. not because they can't afford it, but because the caffeine in it caused their heart to race too fast. So I got to say thank you. I like drinking coffee. It may elevate my heart rate. I ain't tested. I don't know. But I sure was able to drink it. Now, is it all that good for me? Maybe I drank a little bit too much, so I have to say thank you, Lord, because you gave me a reasonable portion of health and strength. So I'm talking about Kenneth now. I done left you alone. Kenneth's got to tell the Lord thank you. I can't. I thank him that he allowed me to get this gut off of me. It's not as big as it used to be a couple of years ago. Amen. So I'm thankful that I got some of that weight off my knees. So my knees don't swell up like they used to no more. So I'm thanking him that he gave me strength and the mindset to do those things. Amen. And am I in perfect physical health? No. So I have to thank him for a reasonable portion of health and strength, because it was him that looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amen, somebody. Amen. Amen. So number two. So number one, you're going to get up with what? A thank you on your lips. Get up in the morning thanking God for your family, thanking God for the roof over your head, the food on in your cabinets. Thank God. Find a reason. When you want to develop your attitude of gratitude, get up with thank you. I told you years ago, there was a lady at our church named Pam Kendricks. And we'd be talking, I don't care when you were talking, Pam would be with a biggest smile. And she would just say, tell the Lord, thank you. Just tell him, thank you. And she'll start laughing. And you couldn't do nothing but just say, God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All of us need to develop that type of attitude that we're provoking one another to be thankful to God for what he's done in our lives. Step number two, amen. This is probably outside of asking God to forgive you for your sins. This is probably one of the biggest things that we can do in this world, or the greatest things that we can do in this world, and that is to forgive others. Now, that's where I want to bring Pastor Calhoun in, if he's about ready. Amen. Amen. And so forgive people who have hurt you in your past. You know, forgive people. Forgiveness, that's something that is hard for a multitude of people to do for so many different reasons. And so on today, as I get to that point, I want to, how you doing, Pastor Calhoun?
Oh, bless the Lord, I'm doing well. I thank God, but this is the day that he has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad.
See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying, saints? He's already telling God, thank you. That's how you got to do today. Now, I didn't tell him to do that, but that was just him, all him by himself. I don't know. to start off with just saying thank you. And so, Pastor Calhoun, we're talking about developing healthy attitudes. To have an attitude of gratitude is a process that one must develop. All of these things don't come easy. They take time. Step number one that I gave people, and most psychiatrists and those that are in the mental health field, starts off with this particular statement of saying thank you, realizing that life is a gift. And the mere fact that you woke up was a reason just to say thank you by itself, irregardless to your financial status, your whereabouts. You was able to get up. You was able to wake up one more time. Step two in that process is learning to forgive others that have hurt you in the past. Without knowing our background or what we're talking about, what we have talked about over the past couple of weeks, that phrase by itself, forgive others that have hurt you in the past, what do that mean to you?
I think it's very important because truth of the matter is no matter where we get in life, two things are going to be evident. And that is, number one, you're going to always have a past. And number two, you're going to always have something or someone that is going to offend us. I think one of the things that we all think about, and not trying to be deep here, but if you think about the maker or the creator of a pencil, when they knew that you was going to write, they already put an eraser on the back of it because they knew that there was going to be some mistakes made. And the power with forgiving is to understand that in life that things are going to happen, some things, and no matter how careful we try to be, and I believe that sometimes we as believers and as those in the body of Christ, we really try to live. That's why the Bible says as much as lie within you, live peaceably with all men. And so sometimes we try to do everything that we can possibly not to offend nobody, but the reality is sometimes we still step on people's toes. But like that eraser that we have to go back and not only ask to forgive others, but also we have to also remember to ask others to forgive us. And I think that when we really realize that we have made some mistakes in our life, not because we just wanted to hurt some people, but because in our process of trying to do what is right, we have hurt others. Mm-hmm. I think that the reality of understanding that, it opens up the door for me to do what? Forgive others. And last thing, and I don't want to take over, but the Bible tells me the merciful shall obtain mercy.
Wow.
And so if I want God to have mercy on me, then it is a requirement for me to have mercy on others. And the older I get, the more I realize how you can make up in your mind to do everything that you want to do. But somewhere or another, sometimes things just don't quite work out the way you planned them, and you have to go back and tell somebody, I'm sorry, hallelujah. And when I'm, and the more I understand that, the more when somebody come to me and say, hey, my bad, I say, I understand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. I read earlier, Pastor Calhoun, once again to our listeners that are listening, we are now speaking to none other than the Greater Somerville Church of God in Christ pastor, Pastor Sean Calhoun, who is also the chairman of the Pastors and Elders Council of Tennessee Central Ecclesiastic Jurisdiction, Church of God in Christ, also the regional chairman of the Church of God in Christ. And what's the other title you have?
The vice president in the prison ministry.
Okay.
Church of God in Christ everywhere.
Everywhere, everywhere. Amen, amen. Man, you start getting, you get any more titles, man, I'm going to have to start writing it down.
I thank you for those titles, but the most important title that I have, and that is servant in the
kingdom.
Wow. See? Servant, because at the end of the day, if my titles remove me from serving God, then my titles become an idol.
Wow.
And my titles now are lying on me because at the end of the day, I can never forget I'm just a servant to the Most High God.
Amen, amen, amen. Today we read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it tells us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And for me, that's one of the reasons why it's so very important that as we learn to tell God thank you every day, we should also learn how to forgive others and things and events around us so it protects our heart. What are some things that you've had to do to really kind of govern, to protect your heart that you may suggest others to do in their pursuit of happiness?
one of the major things, and I thank you for that, Pastor Bonnet, that is my catalyst, and this is the thing that I have to live by every day. You know, a lot of times when people hear us as pastors, they think that, hey, you know, this guy was always there. Pastor Bonnet is my older brother, and he's always been the mild-mannered, loving guy. Me, I was the opposite. I was the hot-tempered, quick to get whatever done, done. I mean, I'm the one, I ain't waiting on you to hit me. I'm going to hit first. And so in lieu of all of those things, I understand now that one of the greatest things that God spoke to me some years back before I became a pastor is that two things. Number one, I have to refuse to be offended.
Wow.
One of the greatest things that has transpired in my life is even when people do things to me, I don't meditate on it, and I try to get rid of it as quick as possible. Because when you hold on to something, it's like a virus. A virus gets in your body, and it begins to change everything about your health. And sometimes when we hold on to offenses, it's like a virus. And they say that a virus must run its course.
Mm.
What course? After it gets finished, the purpose of a virus is to die and get out of your body. So when someone does something to me, yes, it hurts, but I constantly keep telling myself I refuse to be offended. I choose to not allow whatever they did to me to become major offense inside of me, even though it hurt me, because the Bible says a brother offended, is harder to be won than a strong city. And so sometimes I found myself, as I go back to my past, that many a times I was carrying so many offenses in me. And so when the next person came, they didn't get the benefit of the doubt. And a lot of times we have made other people pay for what other people did. But the truth of the matter is when we learn how to let it go, get it out of us. And sometimes you got to pray, God, I forgive them, help me to forgive them. I've been in a situation like that, and it took all of me, and I cried day and night, and I just constantly kept confessing, God, I forgive them. Lord, help me to forgive. God, I forgive them. Help me to forgive. It wasn't so much as what they did, because the truth of the matter is I done worse than that to God. But the reality is when we meditate on whatever things are and we meditate on the negative side of it, then it creates negativity inside of us. But when I meditate on letting it go, loving and moving on, then it creates the good side on it. So one of the things we have to do is refuse to be offended.
Amen, amen. Man, that refusal, man, that's a hard thing to refuse. To refuse something, man, that has to be probably a real great challenge. You know, sometimes you feel like you have to defend yourself, and so the challenge becomes of you stepping back and allowing God to really fight that battle for you. Throughout my life, I've found that God did that so many times that what seemed like was going to be a battle or a fight, that because of my character, I found God fighting my battles for me. One particular time while I was in management, retail management, someone called my upper management and said that I cussed them out. They had called and made a complaint that I cussed them out, and they was offended. And I never forget when it came back to me. They said, Kenneth, come on. We was talking, you know. And she said, oh, yeah, we had a report that and they told me the answer. Then I was like, man, that person, and I was about to say what the person did. They said, they called corporate, and we talked, and I said, okay. They said, you cussed them out. I said, no, what? They said, stop me from talking. She said, we already dealt with that. We know you don't curse at all. And because you have never lost your temper and you've never cussed anyone here. So we already dealt with the matter. And it's, we just wanted you to know, because it was funny to us, that somebody would lie on you like that, not knowing who you are. And so, and I was like, and for a moment there, you know, my flesh wanted to say, that so-and-so, that rascal, that the flesh wanted to say all those things. But it was so funny that I got stopped in the middle of it, Pastor Calhoun. Mm-hmm. And how they told me, they defended me because my character have already spoken for me. I think when we have the right attitude in life, and we go about living life being the example of righteousness that we preach and teach, the enemy gonna come and lie. They lied on Jesus. That's the bottom line.
Right,
and they couldn't even get their lie straight on him. Even though they cooperated together, and they still couldn't get it together. He had a mock trial.
Right.
And they still couldn't get it right.
Absolutely.
Pastor said, man, I don't find nothing wrong with this fella. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
And so, man, and a lot of times what we have to realize, and which is a challenge, is they that live God, they shall suffer persecution.
Shall suffer.
And so it's part of the walk. It's part of the walk. So the faster we come to term with that, that's where I want to get to. The faster we come to term with that, I think the better we are, we will be. And that helps you guard your heart. But there's other times where our heart's supposed to hurt. When I think about poverty in our rich nation, my heart should hurt. When I think about the injustice in this world, my heart should hurt. We can guard our heart, but it didn't say guard your heart, the scripture. I want to read it one more time, because there's a difference between guarding something and keeping something. I think guarding something keeps anyone from touching it. But keeping something is how you preserve it.
That's good. That's good.
And so the text says, keep your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say guard your heart. And I know that might be a play on words to some people, but there is a difference.
Major difference.
Keep your heart with all diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Then it tells us why to keep it. Out of it. For out of it springs the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
So what are issues? Issues are things that we must deal with.
That's good.
Not stuff we must run from or hide from. So to keep my heart is to align my heart with the will and word of God for my life. That's how I feel about it. What you say, Pastor Calhoun?
Well, I think the reality that is a powerful perspective of way to look at it. And I crescendo what you're saying by saying, praise God. There is a difference of keeping and touching. Wow, that was so profound in the way the Lord gave you that.
I think that one of the things as I look at and meditate on the keeping aspect, now from what you said, when I look at it from that standpoint, I look at it from this standpoint. It's like me buying a brand new pair of white tennis shoes. Hallelujah. You know, the whole goal is to keep them from getting dirty. You know, and so when the Lord says to us, keep your heart with all diligence, it's up to us to make sure how we, you know, go, what we do. You know, it's just like certain things, you know, you're not going to wear your white shoes in certain types of rain. You know, you, when you're going to certain environments, you're not going to wear your white shoes. And I think that when I start looking at keeping my heart, I have to know that there are certain environments that I can't leave my heart open. There are certain in things and situations that I have to make sure they even come up with this new thing that they have covers on the shoes so that even if you happen to run into a messy situation, it don't mess up your white shoes. And I just think that, you know, as we look into these things a little bit more, look at them more, it's my job. Watch this here. He didn't say he was going to do it. He said, this is something I got to do, which lets me know that God has given me the ability. I said that it's not something that God is going to do. It's something I have to do. So I have to take whatever initiative and burn whatever energies that are required so that I can keep my heart, hallelujah, with all diligence, so I can do it. And so that lets me know that God has put something on the inside of me by his spirit, by his anointing and contained in the word that innate, that gives me the ability to keep my heart, to keep it, hallelujah, to keep it pure, to keep it right. Hallelujah. That's my thing.
Amen. I'm certainly that our listeners, our internet listeners who's not able to dial in may have a whole lot to say about keeping. Amen. The Bible said he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Talking about God, he'll keep us in perfect peace. That keeping it has a lot to be involved with. And so if God would keep us in perfect peace, but the condition of keeping was our mind had to stay on him. And so with that being said, if I'm going to keep my heart with diligence, that's deliberate. That's consistent on purpose. And so consistently and on purpose, I must keep my heart. That means I govern the levels of it. In other words, I said to us many times on this show that for the believers, we're not to be thermometers. We're to be thermostats.
Amen. Amen.
It's not for us just to tell the temperature,
mm-hmm.
but it's for us to control the temperature. So to keep your heart is to control your heart. Because if you don't keep it, if you don't control it, then the anger of others can creep in.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
You think about it. You got a friend who has certain circles of friends, and you got a certain circle of friends, and all of a sudden that one friend get upset at this particular friend and begin to tell you why you shouldn't be friend with them, but you ain't got no problem with them. Now, I know I'm not the only one that have been in that situation, but I'm like, how you going to tell me how to pick my friends?
Absolutely.
That's because they done you wrong. You might have did something to provoke that. I don't know. You ain't telling me the whole story.
Absolutely.
So we have to keep our heart because people, if you don't keep your heart, people will guide your heart
their way.
Absolutely.
And instead of you being guided the way God wants you, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden you're supporting stuff, and years down the line, you wonder what happened with your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking God, well, Lord, I thought you, I would be this by now. I thought I would be that. And God said, what path are you on?
Right. Wow, that's good. That's good. What path are you? Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good all by itself.
And so we're wondering what happened. But it happened because we allowed somebody else to take our heart, and we didn't keep it. We gave it to somebody else. And I know y'all said that because you said, I've fallen in love. I've fallen in love. And 10 years go by or 7 years go by, and then the same person that you said that was your God sent, you cussing them out. You talking bad about them. Y'all at wits' end, and you didn't keep your heart.
Mm.
I know that's deep. I know that's everybody don't fit that mold, but it happens.
But, you know, that's important, though, Pastor Bonnet. I think that, number one, we have to understand that if God tells us about keeping anything, that there had to be a very potential of something going wrong.
Mm.
And the reality of the point that you just made, to love somebody, to give somebody your heart, the reality is, and I know a lot of us, we ain't going to confess to it, so I'm going to confess.
All right, all right.
I have hurt somebody intentionally and unintentionally.
Wow.
And the reality is, that's why you have to keep your heart.
Mm.
Jesus opened up to us extremely wide by hanging on the cross, but he kept his heart. That's why he's able to forgive us of our sins.
Yes, Lord.
Mm. His heart, why? Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. It was open enough to love us.
Yeah.
But it was closed enough so that what we do to him wouldn't damage him from loving us. Oh, my God.
Okay.
And so the challenge of us as believers when we receive the Holy Ghost is knowing how to love people with an open heart, but knowing how to keep our heart closed for any infractions of things they could do to us. Listen to Jesus. Why, after they did all the beating, the spitting, the cursing, and everything to them, his heart was closed, or he kept it by saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, help us to understand that reality on our daily walk, because truth of the matter, and I know a lot of times we love to paint these perfect pictures, but the reality is, it's just a picture. The reality is, in everyday life, we're flawed individuals. And I don't say that as an excuse, because we strive for perfection. But the reality is, hey, some days you're just not going to be perfect. And that's why God knows how to do what? How to love us, look past our fault and see our need. And the more I'm talking, the more I'm understanding, that's why God is able to love us the way he does, because his heart stays open to love, but his heart closes when it comes to allowing what we've done to destroy that relationship. And that is the true challenge for us as believers, to love like God loves. Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's hard to love like God loves, because in spite of whatever we're going through, God still loves us. God, the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave. So his love for us was to an extent that it gave till it hurt it.
Mm. Wow.
And so, but it gave because it saw the potential of what it can receive from the giving. The Bible says God said that he desired that none should perish, but all come into the knowledge of repentance. But as we very well know, many people are still dying and going to hell. Not because God don't love them, but because they refuse to believe that he loved them. So they don't receive the gift that he gave for them to make it. And so that's a challenge. That's a challenge. That's on a whole other direction. So I'm going to come back. We're going to come back. So Pastor Calhoun, man, I thank you for dropping those wonderful nuggets to us on today. Amen. And I know we got about 30 more minutes in this show, but I just wanted to say thank you to those that are in the Memphis, Tennessee area. Yes, that Greater Somerville Church of God in Christ pastor, he's coming with a new ministry there in Memphis, and it will be there in January of 2022. Amen. And so you're going to hear more about it. I'll be talking about it in December as we're coming up to it, talking about the new opening there, Redemption for Life. Amen. Redemption for Life. Just briefly, Pastor, the name of your ministry, Redemption for Life, can you give us a small overview? I know it's so much, and I don't know if you can keep it short, but just tell us what is Redemption for Life and what's the goal of that?
Well, I thank you for this opportunity to be here. And the goal of redemption is simply this, is to reclaim people back to God. I think one of the biggest things that we have missed in our country, in our world, in our day, is that we want everybody to be perfect. We have created a kind of mentality around Christendom that we expect everybody to be perfect, not understanding that the church is a hospital. And sometimes it's like when people come to church or get around Christians, let me just say Christians, they don't have the opportunity to really say, I'm hurting, because we judge them. Well, the purpose of Redemption for Life is because I want to see people that have messed up, that may be in the bounds of all types of things, to let them know that God knows how to save, heal, and turn them around for this reason. I often say when a person look at me and they talk about all the things that God has done through my life, I often tell people, hey, he redeemed me. I shouldn't be nobody's pastor. I shouldn't be speaking for nobody. But just like he did it for me, he'll do it for them. And I believe that the same God that saved me, delivered me, healed me, turned my life around, is the same God that can do it for anybody else. And all I'm trying to do is pass out some hope and to let that person know who may have messed up, no matter how you've messed up, you're still alive. God still wants to heal you. As a songwriter said, he wants to heal you everywhere you hurt. And that's all we're trying to do. We just want to heal the hurts of God's people.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Calhoun. We're going to have more from Pastor Calhoun at a later time. We're not going to burden him too much tonight. Amen. I'm just thankful that he's taken some time just to share some things with us. Amen. It is a pleasure always to have the people of God to share. I love bringing other perspectives on the program because a lot of times you may hear me, but it's good when other people come and echo the same things. It's much like with parenting. A parent can tell their children something over and over and over again. And then that one day that child come home and say, Mama, Daddy, it's such and such and such and such. And we look at them like, And they say somebody totally off told them that, and you like you wanna throw something at them because you've been saying the same thing to them over and over, but all of a sudden it's brand new news to them. It's brand new to them.
Yes.
But here's what the Bible says. Remember, we got to have an attitude of gratitude.
Yes, yes.
The Bible says, one planteth,
uh-huh,
another watereth.
Yes.
But God. Give the increase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, parents, we may be watering. Or seeding.
Help us, man of God. Help us.
We may be doing all this planting, trying to get something to grow in them.
Yes, Lord.
But it do take someone else to come and water the seed that was sown. So, parents, please keep sowing your seeds. God designed others to come and water. He designed it. He designed it that way. Why? Because he know we are some hard-headed people. We're some hard-headed people. I read the Bible, y'all. I remember the dialogue between Moses and God. And God called the people a stiff-necked people. Stubborn. God got upset with Israel and said, man, I'm just going to kill all of them. I'm going to start somebody with you. You got a couple kids, right? Yeah, we're going to start with you and just build this nation all over again. And there's a lot of people today jump on that bandwagon of being an Israelite or try to say that they are Israelites, not even realize that those early scriptures rejected the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Because of their stiff-neckedness. And we today think because of grace, we can circumvent what God has put in order. We can't do it. Grace is not a license to sin. I'm going to say it over and over and over and over and over again. I don't teach the concept whether you can lose your salvation or not lose your salvation. Because that term lose, you know, if I have a set of keys, that's something that I can pick up and put down at any given moment. So I can lose that. Salvation is not something you pick up and put down, okay? Salvation is like your blood, part of you.
That's good.
And no one that wants to live waste their blood. But there are people that cut their wrists.
Mm.
What do that mean, Pastor Bonnet? Well, I'm glad you asked. That means they rejected life.
Mm.
And so no matter how valuable the blood is, how good the blood is, they made a conscious decision to reject it. So you can make a conscious decision to reject God's salvation. Just like in order to receive it, it must also be a conscious decision to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And so because as much as I love you, if I say I got $100 for you, you can't get it until you receive it. I can want you to have it right now. You can't get it until you receive it. That's salvation. You can't get it till you can receive it.
Wow.
And so we're going to do some talks about that in the future. We may end the year off dealing with that subject, if the Lord will. Certainly around the beginning of the year, we're going to be dealing with that in faith. as God give us to really highlight the significance of faith. I believe today we use faith loosely. But when we really learn faith, we have to go back and look at what is called the heroes of faith. We have to go back and take a journey through Hebrews as it talks about those who had faith, even though what was promised they did not see. They maintained a level of faith so that their children may see it. We here today have the faith of Abraham. It was the promise to him while we are here today. The seed Christ came because it was promised to him. And because we received that seed and what that seed done for us, we have salvation. And like I said, we'll get into it. Because some people say, that's just too simple. You mean to tell me all I got to do is ask God to save me and he'll save me? Almost that simple. Wait a minute. You said almost that simple. Because if you don't believe, you can say it all day long. It'll never happen. Faith without works is dead. That don't mean you get salvation because of your works. That means salvation comes so that you can work. What work? To finish what he left off. He who? Christ. Why? I'm glad you asked. You have your Bible? Open it up again. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. He tells us he is given all power now. 18 and 20, he says to them, all power is given unto me. So go. That word go is your ordination as a believer. Not because you went to mission school, not because you have a doctorate in divinity, not because of any of those things. Christ said to those that was looking upon him, my question is, when concerning the word of God, who are you looking at? Are you looking at the pastor that you have or the preacher that is preaching to you or even me? I hope not. I hope you're looking towards Christ. Because as much as I may love you or have love for you, I have not heaven to give you. And I can't commission you to hell. Mm-hmm. So therefore, your eternal destiny don't lie in my hands. So I point you to the one that has the final say-so of your final destiny. And that is Christ, by his one self. By his one self. So you and I that have heard the gospel, we have to stand before him to give an account to whether we received him or not. I read a while back to you all, one of the lessons that he taught. Thank God for the apostles and all their teaching. I love to go back to Jesus because it really shut down all arguments. Because he said it. So it's no more an suggestive opinion or any of those things. It becomes, because he's sovereign and he said it, it's law. It's absolute. He said that the righteous master in the last day going to divide the sheep from the goat. Now, let me back up. He said, many in the last day. No, no, no. That ain't what he said. He said, not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. And if you read the scripture, they begin to confess as if they was Christians. Have not we done this in your name, that in your name, and that in your name? And he gonna say to them, I don't know you. Depart from me, ye that practice unrighteousness. Ye that work iniquity, excuse me. Depart. Wait a minute. If they cast out devils, and he said to them, depart, what are we missing? What are we missing? What element is missing from our understanding in the doctrine? Many are doing things stating that they're doing it in God's name, in Jesus' name. But the reality of it is they were doing it for their own vain glory. Scripture said, only what we do for Christ will last. It also tells us that all of our works are going to be tried by what? Fire. That means all of our works that been for vain glory going to burn up. There's going to be many people that do make it. But all the work that they do, they made, they did, it's going to be burnt up. The old folks used to say, you're going to make it by the skin of your teeth. There ain't no skin on your teeth. Excuse me. There isn't any skin on your teeth. So that means to tell us that there's going to be a slim margin that you made it by. It's called grace. It's called grace. All by itself, grace. God have mercy on you. But your eternal rewards are going to be burned up. Now, we don't have no idea of the eternal heaven that God has planned for us. But if God took time to allow us to know that there are rewards to be given and crowns of righteousness to be given, so we know that we're going to take our crowns off and lay it at his feet. But there's other rewards that we're going to have throughout eternity. So let our works that we do be works of God. What's the difference, preacher? And I heard you say it before. What's the difference in works? If I do it and say in Jesus' name, what's the difference? The difference is, did he really get the credit? Or did you get it behind closed doors? See, in front of everybody, you might say, "Woo! To God be the glory." Then behind the doors with the other folks, man, look what I made those folks do, boy. I had those folks falling out. Man, look at him, boy. Man, you see, boy, you see what that woman did when I touched her? Man, and it took all the glory. It took all of it. Well, that's your reward. Them smiling in your face, saying, "That a boy, yeah, you did good." When it was supposed to be all about him. How can I say that? The Bible said a broken and contrite spirit, he would not turn away. The Bible talks about being poor in spirit. That is not poverty at all. It does not refer to a level of poverty whatsoever. We hear poor today and we think without. Poverty or poor here in this text is one of dependency. That means we are dependent on him, not ourselves. So when we are dependent upon God to make our every need, to meet our every needs, then we have that poor in spirit. It doesn't mean that my faith is little. It means that I have come completely dependent on him and not my own efforts. When I depend on my effort, then I'm not poor in spirit. I'm strong in my own spirit. And we know it because some people say, look what I done. Mm-mm. Look what God done. Why? Because that's his glory. Pastor Calhoun started out at some point when we was talking, I think when I was talking about his titles, he said, all of that was fine. I'm what? A servant. That's poor in spirit. Because he stayed humble to know that apart from God, I can do nothing. And that's what I'm sharing with you this evening. With God, I can do all things. Pastor Rod say this when he's closing out in prayer at his church as a good friend of ours. He loved to close out with that phrase. With God, we can do everything, and without him, we can do nothing. And I love that about his closing because that's a constant reminder that whatever I'm doing it because God is allowing me to do it. God has gifted me to do it. Many times, I can't tell you how many times, people who have identified with the prophetic anointing over my life, prophet, how you do it? Man, I don't do it, Doc. Man, come on, man, how you do that, man? How you tell people all that? Man, if God, Doc, man, I just want, man, if the Lord, I just said yes to him. Mm-hmm. And so many times I've had people ask me on different, just how do you do it? And my answer to them is the same. Y-E-S to the Lord. It's not about how good I am, how right I am, how righteous I am, how perfect I am, because none of those things is me. No. I get mad like other people. You know, I lose my cool. I may not lose it to the degree of people. But Moses didn't lose his cool to the degree that we thought, but he got mad at a rock and hit him, and God said, you can't go into the promised land. What? All I did is hit a rock. Now I can't go into the promised land because I hit a rock. God, that's a rock. That's an inanimate object. God said, I told you to speak to it. So we make mistakes as servants of the Lord. And God holds us accountable to following his instructions. Check this out, to the letter. It may not seem much to you or someone else, but God knows what he told you to do. And just like a good parent, they don't want to hear what your friends are doing. They don't want to hear what your friends' parents say that they can do. Yes, over there in that affirmation, you might be able to do this and that. Over in that affirmation, you might be able to do, over in that religion, you might be able to. But if God has spoken in your life and told you to do something particular, I don't care what anyone says. You can be like that prophet whose name is not mentioned in the Bible, but his story is told. Yeah. He went and delivered a mighty word of God, but he didn't follow the instructions. The moral of his story is because he disobeyed, his name is not mentioned. He did not make it back home. He is not buried. The dogs ate his bones. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust. And that's the key to living life full. Trust God, obey his word, and you will be happier. Trust the process that God has for you. We say it all the time from the book of Jeremiah. I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you an experience. The NIV says a hope and a future. To give you hope and a future. You can build on that. You can stand on that. And because you can build on it, stand on it, and that foundation is solid, you don't have to worry about it collapsing. That's the word of God. Hey, once again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. I want to say thank you this evening for just being with us. We have some prayer requests that was given earlier in the program, and we want to make time for prayer. In fact, we'll probably ask Bishop Eric Kidd to, well, no, we'll ask Pastor Calhoun to pray. He's still with us for the moment, so we'll ask him to give us a word of prayer. Amen. He is a praying man. One of the things that his ministry does, they're praying 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, every day. Yeah, his group has a prayer line, and they're praying every day. Been doing this for several years now, and consistently, amen. During the holidays and all, they are praying on the behalf of our nation, praying for others, praying for the church family, praying for the pastor and his family. They are praying. And so we know prayer changes things. Prayer affirms things. So there's power in prayer. And so as we pray for the request that Commissioner Ken made about the ministry for the blind to have that bus so that they may be able to go out and get those other blind kids, amen, to bring them to their programs so that they may have opportunity to learn more about who God is.
And, Pastor Bonnet. Speaking of which, see, with your message, it kind of goes with your message, the prayer request. You guys started out talking about keeping your heart and, it reminds me of the little Hot Wheels bus that I got that we keep to remind us of the prayer request that God is going to give us the bus. We know out there there's someone, some church, something that has a bus sitting parked, not being used, but we believe God is going to give it to us. So we've been praying for it, and you guys were talking about the prayer of faith, and that's us, what we do. We pray in faith, believing, not doubting. We believe that God will give us that bus, and that's why we thought we'd bring the request to Pastor Calhoun so that he could also join with us in prayer in faith over this bus, because you guys were also talking about going in the mission field and just going. Remember what God said. What's the first two letters of God spell?
Go.
Go. And what do the first three letters of Satan spell?
Oh.
Sack.
fat. Yeah, fat. I'm fat. Okay.
So we don't want to be fat or sitting for Satan. We want to go for God and go to the highways and hedges and compel those young children at the blind schools and go to the blind camps, just like we did on our honeymoon. My wife and I, we went to a blind camp, and we got to have the privilege of seeing a blind person come to the Lord on our honeymoon. So we believe that God will give us this bus. We just want people to pray with us. Amen.
Hey, Pastor Ken, my question to you, you said that the Lord will have someone give you the bus. What kind of bus is this, and what is the cost of this bus? How many seats? What's going on with it?
Well, I believe that the Lord wants us to have one. You know, you've seen those school buses that the longer ones.
Okay.
That's the type I believe the Lord is going to give us, because that way we could have it like for a mobile church where the children will be able to sit in there, and then we could preach services, because usually most blind schools don't have a chapel or anything.
Okay. All right. So I guess, and I don't know what model number it is. I just try to be a little bit more specific. So have you taken the time to go and look anywhere for the buses to see if there's any available in your town?
Done a little talking over, like, in our school districts and stuff. They've had some on and off, but right at the present time, without the funds right now in our ministry, we've been just waiting. We know that the Lord will provide somehow.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he can provide. Alden asked the question, and I know you're a man of faith. Alden asked the question, what is harder for God to do, bless us with a dollar or bless us with $1,000?
That's right.
And before you answer, some people come back and say a dollar. I say, no, it's the same to God. And so, therefore, I'm just asking that if there is a bus anywhere in the city, that we will go, put our hands on it, see what the price is, and watch God move. So I want to pray for that, because that's how I move. I say, okay, God,
and
I know you got a bus for me, and I start looking.
Pastor Calhoun, that's also why right now when we go around, you know, like to churches, we have that little Hot Wheels bus, and we sit it on our table, and we say, look, you could pray with us using this as a point of contact, too, as we believe in that. We may not have the real thing, but we have that.
All right. Well, we're praying for manifestation now. Amen. All right. Is there anything else that I need to be praying for, Pastor Bonnet? Or just go forward with this?
Whatever God put on your heart, man of God.
Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, as we come before you. All right, go ahead. I heard somebody.
Brother Charles.
Yes. How you doing, sir?
How you doing? Brother Charles, good evening, sir. I miss you at the beginning. How you doing on this evening?
I'm good.
That's good. This is Pastor Calhoun, who we've been sharing with us all evening, and I pray that you enjoyed his responses to our audience. Anything that you like to add to it. Pastor Calhoun, this is Charles Sanford, a.k.a. Six Eyes, Mr. Six Eyes himself, the founder of this network. How you doing, my brother?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Yes.
Go ahead with your request.
I just want to pray for continued resources for the radio station, and we're going to be I'm wanting to get T-shirts to be available, so I'm just praying for that so we can have inspirational T-shirts
all right.
for the audience.
All right. I got something else for you concerning that. We'll talk offline.
Okay.
Merchandise.
All right. Anyone else before I pray? I do apologize. I'm just, when someone tell me to pray, I'm just scheduling my mind to go for it.
Go for it, Pastor Calhoun.
All right. Father God, in Jesus' name, as we come before your word is declared unto us that if we ask, we shall receive. But you say, let us ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed. Father, Lord God, as we uplift, Lord God, the prayer requests concerning the bus. God, we thank you right now, God, that you're moving on the heart of somebody, some ministry, somewhere. Lord God, that you would manifest. For God, you say, wherever you guide, you provide. And Father, Lord God, as we can believe you to pay bills, if we can believe you to heal bodies, God, we can believe you to manifest that bus for the blind, that ministry can go forward. God, as we pray, Father, Lord God, even for the things that are needed in ministry for, Lord God, for Brother Charles, God, we thank you now, Lord God, that you're touching the hearts and the minds of people. As your word is declared unto us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, God, you know how to turn it. Now, God, our simple prayer request on tonight, God, is not things that we want for ourselves, but, God, that you will release those things that, Lord God, are necessary to make ministry happen. And, God, we say thank you. God, we say thank you that you're opening up a door right now. God, we thank you that you're sending overflow right now. God, we thank you that you're turning situations around, not for our glory, but for thy glory. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you called Peter to go to the sea, and Lord God, you told him with the first fish he brought up, it was money in the fish's mouth. Lord God, you fed the multitude with two fish and five little barley loaves. God, you're able to take our little and turn it into much when we put it into your hand. So God, as we put these prayer requests into your hand, we thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing manifestation. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing manifestation, that you're turning things around, and God, that you're going to cause a manifestation to happen to the things, Lord God, concerning ministry, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, even as Brother Ken said, Lord God, your first two letters is to go, and God, you told us, go ye therefore, and to preach and to teach all nations, God. Thank you for giving us the ability to go. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to heal bodies. God, there's somebody on the prayer line tonight, Lord God, that is hurting in their body. There's someone, Lord God, that's looking for direction. There's someone, Lord God, that needs to be touched, Lord God, and we thank you right now, God, as we intercede for them. Lord God, we come against every mental attack, spiritual attack, physical attack. God, we come against it in the name of Jesus. God, you said in your word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And God, we thank you that a standard is being raised in the mind, a standard is being raised in families, a standard is being raised, Father, Lord God, on the job, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're causing us to be victorious. And for God, your word has declared unto us, God, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And God, we thank you for giving us the victory. We thank you for healing. We thank you, oh God, and more so than anything, we thank you for you being God. God, we look unto the hills from which cometh our help. Now, God, we pray, Lord God, that you will continuously anoint Pastor Bonnet, God. Lord God, that you will continuously, Lord God, give him your spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the of you, oh God, that as he's teaching and preaching, Lord God, that you will continuously anoint him afresh, Lord God, to help those, Lord God, who are listening to the broadcast. Father, Lord God, I pray for every minister, every missionary, every person that are working in the labor in the gospel, oh God, that you will give us strength.
Yes, God.
To do your will, God. Give us strength, God, that we won't turn our back and won't let go the plow, but God, that we will continuously move forward, Lord God, and get your will done. We thank you, God, and we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Calhoun. To all of our listeners, we want to say thank you for being with us on this evening. We want to thank you for being a part of the Motivational Monday with yours truly. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for taking the time out to listen and to be encouraged by the things that you've done. to all of those that have been contributors to this radio station, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your seed sown into this ministry. Amen. It indeed is a ministry. Amen. The word ministry means find a need and meet it. Well, this ministry has a financial obligation. And, Lord, maybe God has touched your heart to contribute or to assist us as we move forward and continue to let this station build. So we are asking that God will put in your heart that the seeds that you desire to sow, you sow it in faith. And as you do it, we want to say thank you. To those that have done it, we want to say thank you. We're going to receive our brother Charles as he come back and give us our contribution information. Following that, Pastor Calhoun has already prayed the prayer of faith. That is the end of the program this evening. Once again, we just want to say thank you for being a part of this program. And we're in our overtime, we're in our bonus time. We just want to say thank you. We love you with the love of Christ. Brother Charles, as you close us out with those contribution information, thank you. Thank you for allowing God to help you to build this platform. And stay encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor. To give donation to the station, you have two options. We have PayPal, and the email address you'll enter is SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Whatever God puts on your heart will be greatly appreciated to help us keep you bringing you great programming. So we thank you for that. And if you utilize the Cash App, it would be $SIXEYES, digit number 2, the digit number 4. That's $SIXEYES, the digit number 2, the digit number 4. And again, whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly appreciated. And we also want to say rest in peace to Colin Powell, praying for prayer and comfort at this difficult time for him. Rest in peace, Colin Powell.